Good Monday morning. Today is February the 11th. It is 8:46 in the morning, and we are here to seek God's face and to know his heart. Who is excited about a brand new, fresh week to see what God is going to do with you, through you, and for you? Amen. Amen. I know I'm excited. Christiana and I got home from the North Georgia Revival last night, celebrated our 1 year anniversary. Over 3,700 people have been baptized since February 11th, 2018. Last night was no different. We baptized over 120 people. Lives changed, cancer healed, marriages restored. You name it, God has done it. God is still on his throne. God is still moving in mighty power to those that are desperate, that are crying out to him, that are willing to forsake all, the same way the disciples did for Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. He is there. He is meeting people. If you've yet to experience a North Georgia Revival, I would love for you to be my personal guest. I will save you a seat. I'll have you a reserve seat and everything. I want you to be my guest. So if that interests you, we will be having our next revival service next Sunday. Pastor David Edmondson from Covenant Connections Church will be there. You don't want to miss it. He brought the house down last time he was there. But I'm excited to be here. I do want to ask for your forgiveness. I'm gonna go public and say, you know, Friday was a crazy day. I said we're gonna do our marriage devotion, and that never happened. And we were trying to make time on Saturday, never happened. And then Sunday we're at church all day. So I want to publicly ask for forgiveness for missing that. And I know that some of you are counting on that. And listen, I hear you. We hear you. We know it's important. It's not that we just wrote it off. It is important. So thank you for your forgiveness. We will be continuing that conversation. We wanted to do it this morning, but we got home at 2:30 last night. And so I was up at 7:30, and I'm just glad to be here with you this morning. Last week we were talking, or actually we started a brand new Bible plan talking about identity and the importance of knowing who we are in Christ. And the thing is we have these sons and daughters of God walking around not knowing what we have available to us. And it's kind of like, you know, a mechanic, but it's kind of like a mechanic saying, I know how to work on cars, but I have all these tools, but I don't know how to use them. A tool is no good if you don't know how to use it. And that's the same thing that we have in Jesus. We have all of these different spiritual tools. We can bring deliverance. We can speak healing. We can heal the blind. We can heal the sick. We can walk in that. But first, we have to know our identity. We have to know who we are in Jesus. And so last week, we dove into that. We talked about how we have to die to I. We have to die to ourselves. We have to die to the selfish ambitions, the iniquity that's inside of us. And we talked about that in Galatians 5, where it's the sins of the flesh. We have to die to that. So we have to die to I. We learned Thursday about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit resides in us, and that he's an ever-present help in need, in a time of need, yet we don't tap into it. We walk around. We walk around carrying stress. We walk around carrying anger. We walk around carrying guilt. We walk around carrying shame, yet we have the comforter of the entire world, the creator of the entire world living inside of us, the counselor living inside of us. Yet we don't tap into that. Why? And I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. Cody, why do I even let 10 seconds pass with anger or bitterness or frustration or envy or strife? Why do I let any of that in my heart and in my mind? I don't know. I don't have the answer. But I can tell you that I am going I'm determined to take a shift, a mental shift, and say, I'm done. I'm done letting the enemy control my identity. And I'm fired up this morning. I'm calm, but I'm fired up, and I'm ready to release the word that God has for us. And we've got to walk in that. We've got to walk in our identity, but we have to know our identity. And we know our identity by getting in the Word of God. Cody, you say that all the time. Why do I have to get in my Bible? How do you learn who you are if you don't know who you are? Or how do you don't know who you are if you do, if you're not learning who you are? And you're not learning who you are if you're not reading about who you are. Because we are Him. Once we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. So if we've received the Holy Spirit, and we learned last week, it says greater things that we are going to do. It was in John 14. Greater things in us that we're going to do than Jesus did. How many of us are doing greater things than Jesus? I know. I'm not. Yet. Not yet. Amen. So the title of today's, that was just a little warm up. The title of today's Bible plan is, I am a priest. I am a priest. And some of you, you're hearing that and you're like, a priest? Is that Catholicism? Is it Catholic? Is it some kind of different religion? No, just wait. This is part of your identity. I am a priest. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. In the Bible, a priest is defined as someone who offers sacrifices and does duties pertaining to making sacrifices. We are a New Testament believer, so we don't offer sacrifices of lambs or bulls as they did in the Old Testament. Our sacrifice is in the New Testament, are called spiritual sacrifices. We are priests of God, seated with Him in the heavenly realms. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus is our high priest. He is our example as a priest. We are to look at Jesus and see what Jesus would do. We are called to walk as Jesus walked, live as He lived. To live as Christ, it's no longer me living, it's Christ in me. We can see the spiritual sacrifices we are to do in what Jesus did when He lived on earth. First, Jesus gave a sacrificial love as a servant of God. In John 13, Jesus washed His disciples' feet. In John 13, 14 through 15, Jesus said, "So if I, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet as well. For I gave you this as an example that you should do in turn as I did to you." In another scripture, it talks about that He came to serve, not to be served. The second thing that Jesus showed us as a high priest is that we are to live as givers. How did He give? He gave in so many ways. When we look at the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus gave His life by feeding the hungry, providing healing to those in need. Jesus served and gave by teaching about the kingdom of God. Everything He did was giving, serving, loving. Giving, serving, loving. There's no I. There's no Himself in there. You have to die to that. Giving. I give. I don't take. I give. Serving. I serve. I'm not to be served. And loving. I came to love, not expecting to be loved in return. My goodness, that's a paradigm shift just in itself. If we can realize that he gave not to be given, He served not to be served, and He loved not to be loved in return, that shifts everything. If we can grab a hold of just that little nugget right there. Romans 12 says, "Believers, do not think highly of yourself." We are not a priest to feel good about ourselves. We are to reflect the body of Christ in us. People have to see Christ in us. It's not our own identity. It's to show His identity. We show the world who He is when we live in Christ. Now, I want to stop here, and then this devotion comes to an end. I want you to do a self-analysis. I want you to do a self-evaluation. I want you to pretend you're looking in the spiritual mirror. And I want you to do this. If you're driving, don't do it right now. Go back and listen to this. But do this spiritual exercise. I want you to pretend that you're looking in the spiritual mirror. Now, what do you see? Is there enough of Jesus that comes through that somebody walking in the streets that is in desperate need, would they know that Jesus is inside you? I'm just reminded of the blind man, the blind beggar that was on the side of the road that just got wind that Jesus was coming, and Jesus healed him. And are we exhibiting the Jesus that's going to draw people to us? Are we giving, serving, loving? If we're not, repent. It's that simple. You don't have to beat yourself up. God, I missed it. Oh, woe is me. I'm a failure. I'm not going to be a Christian. I'm going to go back to the slop. I'm going to go back to the pig trough. No. That's not what was supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen is say, God, I'm missing it. There's parts of me that, God, that there's still me left. There's still me left. We talked about this last week. The old wine and the new wine. The old wine is our old life. The new wine is our new, is Jesus inside of us. And we it's not pure wine. God, there's still more. Do that self-analysis and say, God, rid of me anything that's not of you. And I promise you that if you were to say that, he will do it. But be prepared. Be prepared. You may not enjoy it. You may not enjoy the pressing. Go back and look at what the Hebrew is, or the Greek is in for Gethsemane. It's the pressing. It's the pressing. It's the pressing of the wine, or the pressing of the grapes that produces the oil, and it's the pressing of the isle or the olives that makes the oil. It's the pressing of the grapes that make the wine. It's the pressing. It's the pressing that gets the stuff out that doesn't belong, and it makes it pure. It's painful, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. Thanks and praise your Heavenly Father that you are chosen, holy, and royal priest, asked to be used for declaring and displaying his glory. Let's hop into scripture, and then we'll get you on your way to start your day. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Are we showing the goodness of God? That's one of those, that self-analysis. Are we showing the goodness of God? Hebrews 7. It talks about, this is where they're talking about the priesthood of Levi. It's a lot of scripture. So I'm going to go through it quickly. So if the priesthood of Levi, of which the law was based, could have been achieved, the perfection God intended, why did God need to establish a different priesthood with a priest in the order of Melchizedek instead of the order of Levi and Aaron? And if the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed to permit it. For the priest we are talking about belongs to a different tribe whose members have never served as the altar as priests. What I mean is our Lord came from the tribe of Judah, and Moses never mentioned priests coming from that tribe. And that's true. If you go back and study the 12 tribes of Israel, then the tribe of Judah never had priests. That was the Levites. Leviticus was the Levitical law for the Levites for the priesthood. So when they're talking about when in the Old Testament, not eating pork and not eating crustacean, shrimp, washing your hands, defiling yourself, Leviticus is all about the Levitical law, the Levites. This change has been made very clear since the different priest, who was like Melchizedek, has appeared. Jesus became a priest, not by meeting the physical requirement or belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Yes, the old requirement about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law never made anything perfect. But now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. This new system was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. But there was an oath regarding Jesus, for God said to him, "The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever." He will not break his vow. He is a promise keeper. I literally just had this conversation with Christiana before I came in here, that he is a promise keeper. God, if it's in the word, then you remind God of it, and he has to fulfill his promise. He has to. That's what the word says. If you're in need of something, go find it and say, God, right here. It says in your word, I believe, I receive it. I have the faith to walk in that. So God, here it is. I'm reminding you of it. Now, release that to me, because I am a child of God and I have the faith to receive it. Because of this oath, Jesus is one who guarantees a better covenant with God. There were many priests in the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. He is the king. He is the kind of high priest we need, because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once and for all when he offered himself as a sacrifice for people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness, but after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made perfect high priest forever. Man, that is good news. John 20:21, again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He's sending you. Next scripture, John 13:14. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. John 13, and we're going to read 1-17. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that this hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped his towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Jesus said, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And your disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash others' feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing these things. What a word. Amen. Incredible. Know who you are. You know who you are by diving into the word. You are a priest. You are set aside for a good work. You are called. You are called. The enemy telling you that you're not good enough, that God can't use you, that you're too broken, that your past is too busted. It's a lie. It's a lie to keep you from the destiny and the purpose that God has for you. Jesus created you just for a specific purpose. The reason you're still here today is because you have a purpose to fulfill. And if you don't walk in that and you don't know who your identity is and whose you are, you won't fulfill your purpose. And God will have to call someone else to do it. Step up today. Do your self-analysis. God, am I showing enough of Jesus in my life for someone to come to me and say, you know what, Cody is different. There's something about you, Cody. I noticed you from across the room. And I just feel like, will you pray for me? Now, will that happen? Absolutely. But the reality is that we, once we know our identity, we're going to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be able to walk over and say, you know what, Cody, I'm praying as I walked in, and I just feel God saying, I need to, there's something going on. Is there something I can pray for you for? And then the freedom comes. The release comes because you're being obedient. You are in tune with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for what was released into us, released into our spirit. Lord, I just pray the blood of Jesus over this seed that was sown today. Lord, I pray that you'd protect it with just a hedge of protection. Lord, let that seed fall into that fertile ground and let fruit bear today. Even today, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we do our self-analysis, Lord, as we look into the mirror, our spiritual mirror, for enough of Jesus in me. I pray, Father, that there would be just a truth and a rawness. Father, there'd be a repentance that takes place today. A repentance of God, I need more of you. I need to know more about you so I can have more of you. There's always more. You're the God of more. More. There's more. Whoever's out there asking for more, there is more. You just have to press in. So I challenge you, press in, because he will meet you and he will give you more. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the divine appointments that you're going to bring. We thank you for the whispers of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your blessings. We thank you for your mercies, Father, that are new every single morning. We thank you for the purpose that each and every one of us have. Lord, I pray that you would help us fulfill it, that we would walk with integrity, that we would walk in our identity, and that we would walk in the power and authority of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We repent of our sins. We turn from them right now. Lord, any sin that followed us from this weekend, Lord, any sin that's even tempting us right now, we renounce and rebuke it in the name of Jesus and return it to the pit of hell where it came from. Lord, I pray that we would walk in sanctification, that we would walk in righteousness, that we would walk in holiness, Lord, that we would walk in the desire to serve you well. Lord, we take up the full armor of God. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. I'll have this up on the podcast and YouTube channel in just a few minutes if you want to go back and listen to it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.